How holy Yom Kippur is, how the holiday, the sanctification of the day, yet Kol Nidri has to do with, seems to be a very mundane thing, annulling vows, and this became the most popular prayer on Yom, to kick off Yom Kippur. So what's the connection? So basically three different schools of thought, there are probably more, but I'll share three of them about why is Kol Nidri. So one brought down is because we know Yom Kippur is that in Shabbos, but Yom Kippur is the holiest day of the year, and it's a day of forgiveness that God comes down, and He forgive. You know, we ask for forgiveness. We're sorry. He sees we're sincere, and basically the verse says in the pasuk we read, "Lifnei Hashem Tidharu," before God we become pure. So Lifnei Hashem Tidharu means that we want to become pure in front of God. So God comes down on Yom Kippur. But really we want to show how much we're looking for God to come down. So who wants to wait for Yom Kippur to come? So actually Kol Nidre is before Yom Kippur starts. We bring it in early. Early meaning before sunset. We bring in the Kol. So what do we do? So as I said, it's annulling vows. So what we do is we have three people standing up, usually in front of the shul. We take out the Torahs. So different customs. Some take out all the Torahs. Others, you have three people. You have the cantor, the chazan, and you have two people on each side holding a Torah. And basically they're acting as a basin, a Jewish court of law. And we have a verse we read in the book of Psalms, Tehillim, that Elokim Nitzav Adaskel, that God comes down when the Jewish courts are in session, God comes down to help out and see what's going on. So in order for us to bring in, we want to get the divine presence, we want to show how eager we are. We can't wait for Yom Kippur. So we instituted, so it's not so much Kol Nidre, it's the fact that you need a basin, a Jewish court of law in order to annul vows, and therefore we do it before Yom Kippur. So we say, God, look how eager we are. We want to bring down the divine presence early. That's one school of thought. Another school of thought is based on the fact that historically speaking, what happened on Yom Kippur? So originally God came down, Moses came down and was going to give us the first tablets. And what happened was the sin of the he came down, the Jews were worshiping the golden calf, so he broke the tablets, he went back up. So when he came down on the second day, that second day was Yom Kippur, that's our tradition. And that's why it says Yom Kippur is one of the happiest days of the year. It's a day when we got the second tablets given to us. So we have the first tablets and the second tablets. So the commentators explain, we have two Torahs, that we have two Kabbalahs of the Torah. One is the written law, like the five books of Moses. And then we have all the Torah Shebaal Peh, the oral law. So when we celebrate Shavuot 7 weeks after Mount Sinai, we're celebrating the giving of the written law. But the oral law, that was given on Yom Kippur. So on Yom Kippur, we want to, in fact, the difference between the Jewish people and all the other nations, the Christians, everyone claims they have the Old Testament also. So what separates us from the other religions is not only do we have the written law, but we have the oral law, which explains the written law. There's a lot that says in the written law, it says to keep the Sabbath, but doesn't tell us what to do. It doesn't tell us what kosher is. We need the oral law to explain what the written law means. So that was done. In fact, the historians quote, interesting, there was an old custom, it would seem very strange to us today, but they used to have a parade on Yom Kippur. A parade? Like what kind of, you know, like the Macy's Day Parade on Thanksgiving? What kind of parade?
How far back are we going if they had this parade?
And during, they say go back to medieval times, during the times in Alexandria and Egypt, even a long time ago.
Okay.
We don't have them today. So what were the parades for? So they write the parades for because just like today, the Lubavitch, the Chabad, in Jewish areas, they don't have one in Hamilton because it's not big. It's not a bigger Jew enough Jewish community. But in New York, in Israel, in Toronto, Chabad has a parade on Lag BaOmer. Why do they have a parade on Lag BaOmer? Because what happened on Lag BaOmer? The tradition is that the Kabbalah, that the Zohar, which is the mystical teachings of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, he revealed the mystical teachings on Lag BaOmer. That's why in Israel, it's amazing. People go up to the grave of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. He's buried in Meron, up north in Israel. And you have hundreds of thousands. Israel's not that big. You have hundreds of thousands of people going up on Lag BaOmer. So in America, Chabad, they have a parade. What's the parade? Parade they want to do. You do a parade to strengthen things. So Thanksgiving you want to strengthen, you know, how you're loyal to Canada and America, whatever you're parading about. So on Yom Kippur, they used to parade to strengthen the gift of the oral law, because historically speaking, when did it begin? Because in Jewish history, we had this sect called the Karaites. The Karaites were people who only believed in the written law, not in the oral. In other words, so they used to sit in the dark on Shabbos. And because we don't turn lights on. We leave the lights on. That's why it's interesting. Someone once told me, someone from the previous generation, it used to be that it was counter that when the Jews first came to America, especially the Orthodox Jews, they were very poor. A lot of them came over from Eastern Europe. They didn't have any money, so who could afford to leave all the lights on? They didn't have Shabbos. They didn't have like lights. They go on and off. So many Orthodox Jews sat in the dark, which is really the opposite. Really, the Karaites said, "You sat in the dark." You know, they sat in the dark because they had no choice, not because. But the Karaites, they said, "We're not allowed to use lights. You can't even leave lights on when it says not to turn." It says in the verse not to kindle a flame. They took it literally. You have to sit in the dark. Let's say you're not allowed to cook on Shabbos. No hot food on Shabbos. Even if you prepare it properly, they ate cold food. They said you should wear the verse says you seize fringes. You don't wear them. They used to hang them up on the wall and you look at them. So that was a whole different religion. They took everything like in the verses literally. But that was, at the time, it was a very strong. Now today, we basically have at one point 50 years ago, there was a very tiny, tiny, tiny segment of Karaites living in Israel. I don't even know they're around anymore. But back in the day, that was a strong, let's say it says, you should start counting Sfira Sa'omer, the time between Pesach and Shavuos. It says on the day after the Sabbath. So we have a tradition, doesn't mean literally. Yontif is also a day of rest. But they didn't make a difference. They used to observe Shavuos every. It's only Sunday because you start counting right after Saturday. So that was a big fight. So what they did was, so on Yom Kippur, during the time of the Karaites, they had parades, you know, solidifying, we believe, in the oral law. So what does that have to do with Yom Kippur? So that's what they point out, because what are we doing? Kol Nidre is what we call Hataras Nidarim, undoing the vows. And if you look in the Bible, you will not find it. It doesn't exist. We do find something about canceling vows, but it's different. The concept of Hataras Nidarim doesn't exist in the Bible. It's only a tradition we have in the oral law. So how do we start off Yom Kippur? If Yom Kippur is the holiday of the Torah Shabbat Peh, the oral law, and we're fighting against the Karaites, the holiest day of the year, we begin with Kol Nidre to show, look, no, our whole Judaism is based on the written law and the oral law, and what better way to kick it off on Yom Kippur with a Kol Nidre? So again, the first school of thought was, We want to show God how eager we are to bring the divine presence. So we have our base thing get together and we bring it in early. The second school of thought is to strengthen our belief in the oral law. And Hataras Nidarim is an oral law concept, not a written law concept. And that's why we want to kick off Yom Kippur with this concept. And probably the most famous reason is the one I'm going to share now. Among the Hasidim, the Hasidish books, they quote a Zohar. The Zohar, who was also one of the Kabbalistic works, he says, Kol Nidre, which is undoing vows, reminds us of tshuva. It reminds us of the mitzvah to repent. Like, what's the connection? What does undoing vows have to do with tshuva? So the commentators explain as follows, that the Talmud says in Yuma, which is the Gemara about Yom Kippur, because Yuma means that day. What day? The day we're forgiven for all our sins. That's Yom Kippur. So it says, the Gemara talks about how great is the power of tshuva. How great is the power of repentance. So they quote one of the great rabbis in the Talmud, Reish Lakish. And they, as always, you know, you have different students quoting the Rebbe. You know, it's like you have two kids saying their parents said two different things, and you have, it was a common practice. You have 50 students in class. They, you know, have a debate. What did the rabbi say? You know, even now he gives a sermon like, I heard this, you heard that. So it's not uncommon. So they're quoting the same rabbi two different ways. Both good, but one better than the other. One says, how great is the power of repentance? That if someone sinned during the year, if you do a sincere repentance, but if you do it out of fear, like, because, you know, I'm afraid God will punish me or whatever, not for the totally pure reasons, but we'll take any type of repentance. You do it out of fear of punishment, so then it takes all your sins and turns it into, levels the playing field. It's like it never happened. That's one opinion, they said. The other thing, no, he said much more than that. He said, not only do you level the playing field that your sins turn into nothing, but they turn into good deeds. If you did a bad deed, but you fully, truly repented, that bad deed turns into a good deed. Which if you do a real tshuva because you want to come close to God, not a fear of punishment because I really regret what I did, how could I insult that person, how could I do such a terrible thing, and you really feel bad, and you take on, I'm going to try not to do it again. So the power of repentance is, it turns the bad thing into good thing. So the unbelievable power of tshuva is that we can undo even mistakes we made during the year. If you sinned against human beings, like you insulted your friend, you can't ask. You could go to God, but you have to go to your friend. In other words, on Yom Kippur, you're not forgiven until you get forgiveness or until you ask forgiveness from your fellow person, like different people. But from God, you know, then you have to, then God. So we're talking about the one between you and God. And once you ask the person, you ask God, and he said, yeah, I won't forgive you unless you ask forgiveness first from the person. You didn't hurt me, you hurt them. You have to go to them first. So they say, so if a person does a sincere repentance, so not only, so that all their mistakes you made turn into good things, that God will even reward you for them if you do the right thing now. So that's what, so the thing about Kol Nidre, undoing vows, is that you know what you're undoing, and that's what we're writing in here, in the Magzer, we're undoing vows for last year and for the coming year. God, please undo any vows that we said we were going to keep and we didn't keep, and any future declarations I'm going to make this year, please forgive me now in advance. You know, I shouldn't be making them, but. So how does Hataras Nidarim, how does Kol Nidre work? It even works retroactively. Not only the things I'm going to do, but even mistakes I made in the past, God is willing to forgive us. And that's the connection with tshuva. They have the common ground that this guy, I could annul a vow on something I did 3 months ago, 6 months ago, 9 months ago, so too Yom Kippur, which is a time of atonement and a purification, I can not only ask God to forgive me for what I'm doing today, but all the mistakes I made over the previous year. So that's why Kol Nidres is a reminder that we can get forgiveness not only for what we're doing today, but all the mistakes we made in the previous year. So those are the three schools of thought on the importance of, even though it's a much later institution, knowing vows. And in fact, anti-Semites used to claim, you know what we're doing Kol Nidre? You know what? Those Jews are a bunch of ganavim, they're a bunch of crooks. They're going to make business deals, and they're going to cheat us, and then they're going to go to Shul Kol Nidre and annul all the vows. It doesn't work, as I pointed out. This only works vows between you and God. This has nothing to do with, but that's what the anti-Semites claim, that that's how, that's why we do Kol Nidre, is to, so we could cheat them in business. But there's nothing to do with that, because that wouldn't even work. So, but the three schools of thought are that, as we said, we want to show God we're eager, that we can't wait for you to bring down the divine presence and forgive us on Yom Kippur. We're going to get together with the Jewish court of law, and God comes down whenever there's a Jewish court. And therefore, a little bit before sunset, we always begin Kol Nidre. So therefore, we bring God down early to show how eager we are to get ready for Yom Kippur. And the second school of thought is, we said, that the power of the oral law against the Karaites. We used to have parades and to emphasize that the concept, there was no concept of Hataras Nedarim in the Bible. It's only the oral law, and that's what Yom Kippur is. Yom Kippur is the time when we got the second tablets and the uniqueness of the Jewish people, that we get the oral law. That explains how to keep the, yes, you're allowed to sit in the lights on Shabbos. You can't have hot food on Shabbos. We don't take things literally, that you have to sit in the dark and eat cold
food. We have hot food on Shabbos.
No, I know. I know, because we're not Karaites. We say we're not allowed to cook the food on Shabbos, but if you cook it beforehand, then there are ways of warming it up. Yeah. So that's what the oral law says. If you go by the written law, they said they interpret it. Yeah, that's not the Jewish tradition. And thirdly, is this like Hataras Nedarim and knowing vows, it works retroactively, not only what I'm doing today, but all the vows I made, all the promises I made I was going to do, I didn't keep. So too, that's what we have the ability to annul and we get forgiven for all the sins not only we did today and yesterday, but all the sins of the whole year. And that's why, and that's the concept of Kol Nidre. That's why it's just the kickoff to get us into the mood. And that's why over the years it's been like one of the most, at least, most populated events in terms of you know, people coming to, whether they know what Kol Nidre is, the important thing is that they're there. And the next best thing, if you'll be on Zoom or you don't have to go. The greatness of Judaism versus other religions, you don't need to go to synagogue. God listens to you 24/7 wherever you are. You can always pray at home. That's one of the Western society impacts, that like church is a, like you pray in the church. Without church you can't do it. That's not the way it works in Judaism. That, you know, obviously we try to go to synagogue where we can, but if it's a danger to go to synagogue, it's clear we don't go, we stay home, and we can always pray at home, and God's always listening. And that's what, whether we're praying at home or in synagogue, it doesn't make a difference. Yom Kippur has the same power of repentance, and it all depends on us. As long as we're sincere and we show God we're heading in the right direction, so too, God as well, you know, will give us a fair deal as well.
How do you spell
Kol Nidre?
No.
Oh, Karite.